Penguin Random House Audio presents A Darkness at Sethenon by Raymond E. Feist. Book 4 in the Rift War Saga. Read for you by Nicholas Guy Smith. Book 4, Macross Redux. Lo, death has reared himself a throne in a strange city. Poe, The City in the Sea, Stanza 1. Prologue. Dark Wind. The wind came from nowhere, ringing into existence with the reverberation of a hammer striking doom. It carried the heat of a forge that fashioned hot war and searing death. It came into being in the heart of a lost land, emerging from some strange place between that which is and that which seeks to be. It blew from the south, where snakes walked upright and spoke ancient words. Angry, it stank of ancient evil, echoing with long-forgotten prophecies. In a frenzy, the wind spun, swirling out of the void, seeking a course. Then it paused. Then it blew northward. The old nurse hummed a simple tune, one handed down from mother to daughter for generations, while she sewed. She paused to glance up from her needlework. Her two small charges lay sleeping, tiny faces serene while they dreamed their tiny dreams. Occasionally, fingers would flex or lips would purse in sucking motions. Then one or the other would return to quiescence. They were beautiful babies and would grow to be handsome lads. Of this, the nurse was certain. As men, they would have only vague memories of the woman who sat with them this night. But for now, they belonged as much to her as to their mother, who sat with her husband presiding over a state dinner. Then, through the window, a strange wind came, chilling her despite its heat. It carried a hint of alien and distorted dissonance in its sound, an evil tune barely perceived. The nurse shivered and looked toward the boys. They became restless, as if ready to wake, crying. The nurse hurried to the window and closed the shutters, blocking out the strange and disquieting night air. For a moment it seemed all time held its breath. Then, as if with a slight sigh, the breeze died away and the night was calm again. The nurse tightened her shawl about her shoulders, and the baby stirred fitfully for another moment before lapsing into a deep and quiet sleep. In another room nearby, a young man worked over a list, struggling to put aside personal likes and dislikes as he decided who was to serve at a minor function the next day. It was a task he hated, but he did it well. Then the wind made the window curtains blow inward. Without thinking, the youngster was half out of his chair in a crouch, a dirk seeming to fly from his boot top to his hand, as a street-born sense of wariness signaled danger. Poised to fight, he stood with heart pounding for a long moment, as certain of a death struggle as he had ever been in his conflict-torn life. Seeing no one there, the young man slowly relaxed. The moment was lost. He shook his head in perplexity. An odd queasiness settled in the pit of his stomach as he slowly crossed to the window. For long, slowly passing minutes, he gazed toward the north, into the night, where he knew the great mountains lay, and beyond, where an enemy of dark aspect waited. The young man's eyes narrowed as he stared into the gloom, as if seeking to catch a glimpse of some danger lurking out there. Then, as the last of the rage and fear fled, he returned to his task. But throughout the balance of the night, he occasionally turned to look out the window. Out in the city, A group of revellers made their way through the streets, seeking another inn and more merry companions. The wind blew past them and they halted a moment, exchanging glances. One, a seasoned mercenary, began to walk again, then halted, considering something. With a sudden loss of interest in celebration, he bade his companions good night and returned to the palace where he had guested for almost a year. The wind blew out to sea, where a ship raced toward its home port after a long patrol. The captain, a tall old man with a scarred face and a white eye, paused as he was touched by the freshening wind. He was about to call for the sheets to be shortened when a strange chill passed through him. He looked over to his first mate, a pock-faced man who had been at his side for years. They exchanged glances. Then the wind passed. The captain paused, gave the order to send men aloft, and, after another silent moment, shouted for extra lanterns to be lit against the suddenly oppressive gloom. Farther to the north, the wind blew through the streets of a city, creating angry little dust swirls that danced a mad caper across the cobbles, skittering along like demented jesters. Within this city, men from another world lived beside men born there. In the soldiers' commons of the garrison, a man from that other world wrestled one raised within a mile of where the match was taking place, with heavy wagering among those who watched. Each man had taken one fall, and the third would decide the winner. The wind suddenly struck, and the two opponents paused, looking about. Dust stung eyes, and several seasoned veterans suppressed shudders. Without words, the two opponents quit the match, and those who had placed wagers picked up their bets without protest. Silently, those in the commons returned to their quarters, the festive mood of the contest having fled before the bitter wind. The wind swept northward until it struck a forest where little ape-like beings, gentle and shy, huddled in the branches, seeking a warmth that only close physical contact can provide. Below, on the floor of the forest, a man sat in meditative pose. His legs were crossed, and he rested the backs of his wrists upon his knees, thumbs and forefingers forming circles that represent the wheel of life to which all creatures are bound. His eyes snapped open at the first caress of the darkling wind, and he regarded the being who sat facing him. An old elf, showing but the faint signs of age native to his race, contemplated the human for a moment, seeing the unspoken question. He nodded his head slightly. The human picked up the two weapons that lay at his side. The long sword and half-sword he placed in his belt sash, and with only a gesture of farewell, he was off, moving through the trees of the forest as he began his journey to the sea. There he would seek out another man, one who was also counted friend to the elves, and prepare for the final confrontation that would soon begin. As the warrior made his way toward the ocean, the leaves rustled in the branches over his head. In another forest, leaves also trembled, in sympathy with those troubled by the passing dark wind. Across an enormous gulf of stars, around a greenish-yellow sun, spun a hot planet. Upon that world, below the cap of ice at the North Pole, lay a forest twin to that left behind by the traveling warrior. Deep within that second forest sat a circle of beings steeped in timeless lore. They wove magic. A soft, warm glow of light formed a sphere about them, as each sat upon the bare earth, richly colored robes unblemished by stain of soil. All eyes were closed, but each saw what he or she needed to see. One, ancient beyond the memory of the others, sat above the circle, suspended in air by the strength of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?